Welcome to our Sunday school lesson this week. We have missed the last 2 weeks because of this COVID. And now we have a shutdown now for the third week, having the parking lot service and no Sunday school. So I'm going to record the Sunday school and put it out on the internet where anyone that's interested can get to it. Our lesson this morning is in lesson 4 of our study. We have started a new quarter, the good fight of faith, found in 1 and 2 Timothy and the book of Titus. We had the first lesson before we got shut down again. And then we missed the lesson, Guidelines to Corporate Worship. I encourage you to go back and read the Sunday school lesson found in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 15, Guidelines to Corporate Worship. It goes into how we have order in the church, and it's very important that we go back and study those scripture. And then last week, we would have looked at quality leaders. And in the quality leaders, we would have went into qualifications for the pastor and qualifications for deacons. And we feel like that those are the biblical qualifications, and our church does use these qualifications, and to be a biblical church, that's what we would need to do. And then that brings us to this week's lesson, set a godly moral example. Our text is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4. The longer we're Christians, the more we should want to have accurate Bible teaching. A few weeks ago, we taught how what we believe controls how we act and how we live. And then our lesson today is how to set a godly moral example. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, and of course the Apostle Paul is the human writer of the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, and he's addressing it, as we found out in our first lesson, he's addressing it to young, I call him the young preacher boy. Of course, he was a young man during this time. But Timothy was young in the ministry. And Paul was writing this epistle, this letter, to set in order for Timothy in how to conduct in the church, and then, of course, our Christianity. And then, of course, as we've been studying, there's also false teachers have been coming in. So we can look at around the world, you know, even today, and we still find that to be true. False teachers and apostasy are all around us, and godly morals are hard to find. So then, of course, we have to ask our question, what kind of godly moral example am I? If someone asked my spouse, what would he or she say? If someone asked our children, what would they say? How about our coworkers? What would they say? Would you and I be embarrassed at their answer? If we're embarrassed with what people say, then what about what Jesus knows about us and what he has to say? Jesus came to earth and died a horrible death on the cross to save us from hell. He paid the ultimate price. He proved his love for us. Yet most Christians today are embarrassed to even tell others about him. And many are just too caught up in worldly things to have time or to live for Christ. But now that we're saved, does it matter how we live? Well, the Bible says yes, absolutely it does. Sound doctrine is important. And it does matter what we believe, and it does matter how we live. I talk with people that say, well, leave me alone. It's my life. I'll do what I want to do. But our life affects others, and it affects people around us. And we set an example on how we live our life. So then the question is, what kind of example are we setting? As Christians, we should live our lives according to the teachings of the Bible, according to God's Word. And we need to set biblical examples for others to see. Well, the verses in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, deal with corrupt teaching. So let's look at it, verse 1, chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It says, now the Spirit. Of course, here is the Holy Spirit, referring to the Holy Spirit, and referring to inspiration. And then it talks about the latter times. The latter times started when Christ came, and it will and ended the rapture. We're in the last days, and I believe the rapture is very soon. It actually could be before I finish teaching this Sunday school lesson. Are you ready? And all we have to do is look around us, and we see the signs of his appearing. We know not when he will come, but he said that we will see the signs in the last days. And we are living in the last of the last days. And then that verse tells us that some shall depart from the faith. Oh, how true this is. Even many Baptists are caught up in secularism and New Age movement, contemporary movements. People want something new or something that they can reason out instead of just going by what the Bible says. God had his prophets to prophesy what would happen in these last days. There will be famine of the Word of God. Let me be quick to point out here, this verse says some. It doesn't say all. Thank God, as long as the church is left in this world, God will have his remnant, his faithful few who do have true faith in him. Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And let me just add, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then we need to chunk it. We need to get rid of it. We don't need to live by it. Luke chapter 18, verse 8 says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, here it is, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, God never asked a question that he, of course, doesn't already know the answer. He already knew the answer when he asked this question. But he wanted us to think about this. And he wanted us to answer this question. In these last days, the devil has waged an all-out attack on the Word of God and Bible doctrine. And we need to stand on what the Bible says and teaches. We need to stand on the old paths, especially in these last days. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I find no fault in the old paths, using my King James Bible. I find no fault in the old paths and old-fashioned worship. I find no fault in the old paths and good old-fashioned hymns and singing. But I do find fault in these movements today that are leading people away from the old paths. And then the scripture says, seducing spirits. Here's talking about men who pretended, but yet were not really guided by the Spirit. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Not everyone that calls themselves a Christian or calls themselves a godly person is of God. There are those of, who are of seducing spirits or of another spirit or false prophets. That's why we have so many religions today. Verse 1 talks about giving heed to seducing spirits, the doctrines of devils. Demons is in the teaching of a lot of these, even what they call churches today. I'll just single out the Catholic Church. Doctrines of devils or demons is defined in verse 2. Verse 2 says, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Speaking lies. The doctrines of God is truth. What is opposite of truth? Lies. That's the doctrine of devils, the devil crowd. One of the examples of apostasy is giving heed to doctrines of demons. Back to the Catholics. The Catholics teach that you worship saints and you worship angels. And they're even a middle sort of a deity. And they make statues and images of saints and virgin. And they burn incense to them and pray to them. They'll even kiss the statue and bow down before them. They'll march these statues and idols through the streets. I was in Mexico on a mission trip. And next thing I knew, there was a big parade coming through town. And I went out there to see what all the commotion was about. Well, sure enough, it was a Catholic parade going down the street. And they were exalting their statues and they were exalting the Virgin Mary. And they were even cutting themselves and beating themselves, trying to inflict pain to be like Jesus. Well, all of this is the opposite of what God said to do. God said there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Only one, only Him. We're not to pray to a priest, not to pray to an angel, not a departed saint, not a statue, not even the Holy Virgin Mary. Only Christ Jesus. And God says that we're not to have any images and we're not to have idols. Their statues and their images of departed saints and virgins and bowing before them and honoring them does not line up with the Bible. It's contrary to Bible doctrine. The devil in rejecting God's will cause one to sear their conscience. It's possible to reject the Holy Spirit to the point that a person's conscience is like taking a hot iron and burning their skin. Well, I was an EMT, and one of the things that I know and I studied, that once the skin is burnt down to the third degree, it no longer hurts. There is no longer pain. But the skin actually dies and it scars. Same with our conscience. Lost people that's rejected the gospel, they'll get to the place where it doesn't matter anymore. They don't want to hear it anymore. Even if they're saved and turning from God and the Holy Spirit tries to get them back on track, they'll reject Him to the point that it'll come to the point that the Holy Spirit will have no impact on their life. Saved people know to do right, but yet continue to sin against God. And it'd get to the point where they're satisfied living in their sin. Their conscience no longer cares of the Holy Spirit. I've met people in this condition. Verse 3, it says, forbidding to marry. We're going to zoom in on that. And commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. So back to the Catholics, and of course there's many other religions that I could be zooming in on and pointing out. But I'm just going to stay with the Catholics for our example. The Catholics command their priests and their nuns not to marry. What does this verse 3 says? Forbidding to marry. God says marriage is honorable. God instituted marriage. It's a sign that men have departed from the faith. When they say forbidden to marry, they're departed from the faith. When they command what God has forbidden, such as a saint or an angel, demon worship, yet forbid what God has allowed or commanded, such as marriage and eating meat. There was a false teaching that marrying was wrong. Well, look at America today. Just look at our marriage institution today. Isn't it a shame that we had to have a constitutional amendment just to keep the wicked judges from destroying marriage? Yes, we're in the last days. Jews in some denominations don't eat pork. They don't eat a lot of the meats. But the Bible says that if you know the truth, then all the meat is good. And we just asked and the blessing on it and asked God to bless it, and we thank God for it. And he says we receive it with thanksgiving. We need to know that God's word teaches what God's word teaches, so we'll know how to reject the false teaching. So all of that we were looking at was corrupt teaching, forbidden to marriage, forbidden to eat meat. This is false teaching. But now let's look at correct teaching in verses 4 through 6. In verse 4 and 5, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So here again, everything God made, yes, including pork, the Bible teaches us to eat it and receive it with thanksgiving. And then verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So Paul told Timothy, the young preacher, teach and preach the word of God. Hey, Timothy, remind the brethren of apostasy. Remind the brethren and point out the false teaching that came and comes into the church. Hey, Timothy, you've attained a good doctrine. Now stay by the stuff. We never get too mature in the Lord that we don't need nourishment. Just like that we have to eat every day, we need nourishment from the Lord every day. It doesn't matter how fat I am, and I won't go there, but I still need to eat. Because if I go a long time without eating, I'll not have the nourishment I need to make me strong. I will get very weak. And that's how it is with the Word of God. We can never get enough. We need to eat on the Word of God every day. His Word will feed us and strengthen us. And not only do we need the Word, but we need to remind others so they can get that nourishment as well. And then in verse 7 it says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. What are some old wives' fables going around today? Well, we just observed Christmas. Are you familiar with any fables there? How about Easter coming up and the Easter Bunny? The world embraces fables so they can remove Christ. There are also many home remedies and sayings that's been passed down through the generations that are not true. And then it says to exercise. Exercise is that training and discipline himself for the task. Look at verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of life that now is, and of that which is to come. So in the Apostle Paul's day, athletes and sporting events were prevalent, and several times Paul compares an athlete or a sporting event to our Christian walk. Yes, it's important to exercise, training, and discipline for our bodies. New Year's is just a few days away. The commercials are going to be pushing every exercise machine there is. And we do eat too much, and we do need to drop a few pounds. And too many of us will exercise our bodies, yet neglect exercising our minds and our heart and our soul with reading the Bible and going to church and praying and studying the Word of God. Getting our body in shape is of little importance compared to getting our hearts and minds in shape in the Word of God. Listen to this in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery and temperate and is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And then back to our text, verse 9. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Worthy to teach in Paul's day. Worthy to teach in our day. Verse 10, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Living a Christian life is not easy. How important is exercise and training in running a physical race? We need this exercise and training in our spiritual race. If we're out of shape spiritually, Satan will defeat us and we'll fall short of the finish line. Preaching and teaching and witnesses is labor. It's hard work and time consuming. And it hurts when lost people make us a promise and won't follow through. And even believers that don't have time for God, yet we'll persecute and talk about the ones that do. Sometimes Christians can be very mean. They can be temperamental and hurt our feelings. But we need to keep our trust and our eyes on the living God, our Savior. He will never let us down. Godly people must labor, and yet we may get persecution, we may get reproach, but we must do well and yet expect at the same time to suffer that persecution. Christ said they treated him that way, they'll treat us that way. Verse 11 says, these things command and teach. This is not a suggestion. This is not an if. It says, these things command and teach. That's what we need to be preaching and teaching. That the living God, the Savior of all men, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He's their only mediator. And all who die without Christ to go to hell, we need to be teaching these sound doctrinal truths. We're commanded to teach these sound doctrinal truths. Verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Yes, even young people can be and a Christian example. It's believed that Timothy was a young man. The elders attacked his youth. The elders even attacked his position in the church. But Paul says, hey, there's something you can do about that, Timothy. Do you argue with them? You cuss them out? You fight back? No. He's to be a godly example. We need to be godly examples in what we say. And in our lifestyle, that lifestyle's conversation means lifestyle. In love and the power of the Holy Spirit, faith in the Lord, keep ourselves pure. I know some young people that are more mature in the Lord than a lot of adults that has claimed to be saved 30 and 40 years. But can I just say, godliness is not determined by age. Timothy was a role model. Young people today need to be a role model. Your peers are watching you. Verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Devote himself fully to the public reading, to the teaching of scriptures. Paul saying, hey, Timothy, until I come, you just keep on keeping on. Keep on reading the word. Keep on exhorting the word. Keep on teaching doctrine. Keep on being a godly example. Keep on being a role model. When these elders comes at you and despise thy youth, just give them the word of God. Love on them. Teach them what the word of God says. Verse 14, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. It says, neglect not the gift that is in thee. If you have a gift, use it for the Lord. If you can sing, sing. Gospel music. If you can play an instrument, play. If you can teach, teach. If you can preach, if you're called to preach, preach. God has given all of us gifts. We need to either use it or lose it. He may actually take it away from us. And then he says that word presbytery. The word presbytery means elders. Timothy was ordained. It talks about laying on the hands of the presbytery. So Timothy was ordained by the elders. He was an ordained pastor. And of course, the ordination is the laying on of the hands. And he had the gift of prophecy. That prophecy is to proclaim the gospel. Go forth to foretell the gospel. That's what prophecy means. Timothy has the gift to foretell the gospel, to prophecy. And he was ordained by the laying on of hands. And then in verse 15 and 16, he says, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. He was to diligently fulfill his calling. I like that word, holy. Give thyself holy. There's too many people that's just a part-time Christian. God doesn't want part-time Christian. He wants you to give yourself holy to him. So Paul was telling Timothy, be diligent, fulfill your calling, preach the word, shepherd the flock. And we know that this verse is not indicating that Timothy can save himself for salvation. But he can lead people to Christ. He can rest in his salvation. And many can and was to be saved through his ministry. And then the Apostle Paul told him to continue in the doctrines. A lot of Christians think when they get in, well, that's the end. I'm in now. I'm going to hell now. I live like I want. Oh, no, my friend. When you get in, that's not the end. That's the beginning. When you have a new birth, you have just begun to live. When you have a new birth physically, you have just begun to live. It's a daily process until you mature. When you're born again, it's a daily process, and you need to mature, and you need to wholly follow God. And just like our birth, if we're not fed, we'll be no use to anyone. And then our second birth, if we're not fed by God's word, if we don't grow spiritually by continuing in the doctrine, then we'll be no use to God. Getting saved starts our journey. And we're to continue this journey until it's time to go home. In so doing, we need to set a godly, moral example. That concludes our Sunday school lesson for today. I look forward to seeing you in person next week if none of this COVID breaks out again. And so God bless you. I hope you got something from the lesson that will cause you to be a godly, moral example and to wholly follow God.